Hello and welcome to our podcast. Today we're speaking to Bishop Eduardo Hiboro Kusala. Bishop Kusala's over from the Diocese of Tumbura Yambio in southern Sudan. Ahead of an important referendum that will decide the future of the country, Bishop Kusala explains the challenges faced by the Sudanese people.
Thank you for giving me this privilege. All I can say initially first is, of course, thank you for calling me here, and I want to call my gratitude to the Church in Need that gave me the invitation to come to England and CAFOD. I'm here definitely to say a word of thank you to these friends for the great work they've done to us during the long period of war and now during the reconstruction period. In fact, it is true, Sudan has experienced a long period of war, of suffering, and in particular my diocese. We are talking about war of over 50 years, and I'm grown up in war and many others of my age and even before. And many things have been put at a standstill. We have lost a lot. In terms of persons, over 3 million people have died in the two wars that we have experienced. And with the dawn of peace in 2005, we had the 5R, the reconstruction, rebuilding, rehabilitation, re-evangelization also, so to speak. And this has not been easy. We have to go against current of interest. You know that reconstruction period is a moment of great expectations. Mm. So our people need to come away from the experience of war and to experience peace, and they need services. And of course, you have to know that during the war time, the church was like the jack of all trade, because the government engaged in fighting. They were busy fighting, and then, of course, fighting is destruction to life and to properties. So the church remained there to pray for people, and to regroup the people, and again, we went beyond our mandate, like engaging in social services like schools, hospitals, and other services. And this support we got very much from you, our friends in England, through Aid to the Church in Need and CAFOD. Without you, definitely, honestly, I must say, we would not have made it to the moment in which we are. So we are grateful. And now that we are also shifting to another delicate moment in our history, a moment that is very decisive and delicate. That's in 2011, at the end of this entry period of peace, relative peace, the people of southern Sudan will be voting in a referendum for unity or separate country.
What does that mean? If let's just say that the vote goes the way of separating, what does that mean for southern Sudan, and what does it mean for the church, do you think?
If that happens, it actually is a huge challenge itself, because you have got to have a new country, and a new country is a new administration, new attitude, new culture, new approach, and even the law and everything is new. And that means we will be really bombarded with the big responsibility of rebuilding a new people, a new nation. And the challenges are many. And among them also, there could be disrupting aspects of it. We are not saying we have been at peace with one another since then. The people of the South also could have some differences among themselves by the time they break away. So with this challenge for the church, basically will be the building of the conscience of people, the identity of the people. And of course, you know that the church has been very prominent in the life of the people in southern Sudan. And we will have that role of working to inculcate into the lives of the people culture of peace and nation building, and also the sense of brotherhood and living in peace with our neighbors in the north. And this is a big challenge alone. And then leave alone the infrastructure and the aspects of the government, which is very challenging because you have got to have people who will be in the ministries, in the government positions, who have never been there. And here we will need a lot of support from our friends who have experienced how to run a country, to train our civil leaders and as well as our police and military to put order in those aspects. So the challenge will be big. And of course, for us as a church, We have not taken a side in this process, like saying, yeah, let people vote for Southern Sudan or vote for unity. We are doing a conscience building. We need our people to have informed conscience during this moment. That means we need a country that's peaceful, a country that will respect all the diversities of the people. We need a country that respects the law, dignity of human individuals. Nobody should be left outside, marginalized. Now, if this can be provided by one united country, well and good. I'm here in England, you are here, you have all types of people and you live in peace. And that's great. So if separation can be then the condition to provide such a peaceful country, let it go. But let the people not be intimidated. Let the people be very free to cast such a vote so that they will be responsible for it for now, for tomorrow and after. That this generation made that vote. And in fact, and that's my message here. We are coming from history. We are coming from a situation, and that's why the church is so interested in not letting people be led by emotions in this kind of practice. We would like people to be free, but it's difficult because what is happening right now is people tend to look to history. We have been under a lot of suffering since eternity, since God created the world. The area I'm talking about, Southern Sudan, has never experienced freedom. Mm. And it is a matter of life. The decision they will be making now, they will be looking at that. What happened? What's wrong with us? All these years, other people already have their freedom, but we never had it. So this kind of challenge makes them to go back into history, what they've gone through. They might be seeing an alternative in the choice for separation. And that's why I'm saying they should not be intimidated. But the fear is there. We see now the two governments, the government in Northern Sudan and the South, they don't seem to be agreeing anymore. Northern Sudan, the government of the North, was given the mandate to make unity attractive. What does it mean? Unity attractive would mean a country free from any sectarian system, a country that promotes the welfare of everybody equally well, a country that respects the rights, the dignity of every individual, and not like the way it is, like still insisting on Islamic law, is still insisting on radicalism, is still not giving chances to of sharing the natural resources by everybody equally. This has not worked. And there's still the same government which has been in power for so many years, through which people had experienced those difficulties. And you give a big temptation to the people. Mm. You see, allowing the people in South Sudan to have a big temptation. Because they still see the leader who was and who is. And they still see the same structure under which they have gone. And you are telling this man, you vote for unity. And he himself, the leader himself, says, everybody must vote for unity. I will never accept separation. It is the same man. So how is it easier for a human being to forget the past so easy? So this is a real issue where we are saying, at the moment, there is already antagonism between the two people.
Yeah.
We need a neutral body in between the people in the South and the North to see that the referendum is fair, credible, and peaceful. That the decision would be really a decision coming from the hearts of the people. They should not be obliged. They should not be forced. But this international community has to be a new one. We have a UN forces in Sudan, but they have no strong mandate. Their mandate is only to collect the data and send it to Geneva. How many have died? How many have scattered? That's not what we need now. We need a force that can really stop and protect the lives of the people. And we need a credible and a strong observers during the referendum.
Bishop Eduardo Casala there, talking about an important referendum that will shape the future of Sudan. That's part one of today's interview. You can download part two from this website.